You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org.
Hey, I want to go ahead and say that we will be in Ephesians 4. We're going to be continuing our Ephesians series this week. And so we're in Ephesians 4. So if you have your Bible, you can go and open it up to Ephesians 4. While you're doing that, I will tell you that we'll continue to have our, if you have a question at any time during the message about something I said, or just a question that comes to your mind when we're talking about what we're talking about, you can text it to 386-734-1991 and we will get to it at the end if we can. All right. So Ephesians 4. I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again. Man, I have a lovely family, and we just welcomed our first daughter back in November. October. She was due in November, but she came a couple weeks early in October. Here's a picture of my lovely family. I don't know if you can see. That's our baby girl right there. That's my wife. My wife's in the back. My baby's not in the back. My baby's in the nursery being taken care of right now. Look at them eyes, man. She's staring into your soul right now. Right? Yeah. She's cool. She does cute things like this. Man, she's fun. She's fun.
One more.
Yeah. And you can get her cackling, dude. But she also does this. So this was her when we tried to feed her a strawberry. They said, like, put it on her lip. And we did. And she made that face every single time. But what's funny is you take it away and then she would reach back for it. Like, man, give it back. But, like, I don't like it. So, man, look at her. Yep. All right. I can't look at her too long, man. I'll get emotional, right? I love it because, man, she really did change my life. Because before I became a dad, I was just a husband. And even if you go further back, before I was a husband, I was just a guy, I guess. But I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, being a dad really changed who I was. Changed a lot about me. It changed kind of my priorities. It changed what I can do, what I do in my free time. Truly, there's this moment where you decide to care for her more than you care for yourself in a lot of ways. And really, there's this kind of, if you were to kind of talk about it, I guess, there was an old Nate and there was a new Nate. And really, for you guys, there are some of those moments that you could probably point to. I don't think any of you are dads. I hope not. But you know, I think about the change from middle school to high school. Like, middle schoolers, all the eighth graders in the room, let me tell you this. You are going to change when you get into high school because you go from the top of the totem pole to the bottom of the totem pole, wherever you end up. Unless you're homeschooled, I guess you're in the same house. So, I don't know, maybe your parents will, like, I don't know, give you a swirly. I don't know what that looks like. No, I'm just kidding. Don't. I hope your parents don't give you a swirly, seriously. But if they do, make sure it's on video. I also think of, like, getting a license. Like, when you turn 16 and you get your license for the first time, you become a driver. I think about when you get your first phone. And then for me, it was you got your first phone, and then later in life, you got your first smartphone. I think now it's really, they've kind of just thrown out the bricks and the dumb phones, and it's really your first phone may be a smartphone. But I think that's a big change, that it changes things about you. And then for those who are in high school, at one point you're going to go to college, and that's going to be a big change. And then you're going to kind of get into life that I've gotten to, where you're going to get married, and then you're going to become a parent, if that's kind of the road that you have in store. But the thing is that I think about when I go back to, like, man, me being a dad, or, you know, even the things that I talked about for you, I think about the question, like, what if I didn't change? What if I became a dad, but I didn't change the things about myself that needed to be changed to become a good dad? Like, what if my priorities didn't change? What if I, instead of caring for her when she's crying or when she's hungry or when she needs a diaper change or when she just needs to be out or when she needs to take a nap, like, what if I just ignored her? I was like, well, I want to watch my TV, or, man, I want to do this, I want to do that, and that's not what I want to be part of. Or even, like, what if my enjoyments were the same? Like, I didn't prioritize her over myself. And the truth is, I'd be a bad dad, right? Like, I would be a bad father to my child because I would be rejecting my true identity. I'd be rejecting my true identity. My identity now is I am a dad. Like, that's something that is true about me, and that won't change. But if I didn't do the things in a fatherly way to be a father, I would be rejecting my true identity. And I think we look at these things that I pointed out for you, and some of that can be true. Of like, man, if you don't navigate these changes well, of where you're at a moment where you were one thing and you need to be another, then you would be rejecting part of your identity. And really what we're going to see in Ephesians 4 is Paul is going to show us something similar about our lives as Christians, about how we are as Christians and the change that needs to take place in our life. And so we're picking up in verse 17. Like we usually do, we're going to read, explain, and then come to a point for the night. All right, starting in verse 17, Paul says this. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life that God has because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Pause there. So Paul looks at them and says, hey, don't act as the Gentiles. Now, the thing about the word Gentiles is really it is a nation of people. And really, the word Gentiles encompasses everybody that wasn't a part of the chosen people of Israel. And so really, Paul uses in two very different ways. Like, one, he's talking about literal Gentiles in the sense of like, hey, you are not a part, you are not Jewish, and so you're a Gentile, and that's your nationality. And in another sense, he's using it in a more moral sense of saying living like a Gentile is to live apart from God. And so here he's using that. He's not talking about the nationality of not being of the Jewish descent. Rather, he is just talking about this moral idea of when he's saying Gentiles, meaning to live a life that is not under God, to live a life where you're seeking your own pleasures rather than what God has for you. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't live, basically saying, don't live like you're not saved. Don't live like you don't know the gospel and that the gospel has not come into your heart, right? And then he picks up in verse 20 and says this, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And he said, so, hey, don't act like you're not saved because you are saved. Don't act like you're not in the family of God because you are. Don't act like you aren't a part of the kingdom because you are. And then he uses this really great illustration of old self and new self. I'm saying put off the old self. Basically, put off the things that you desired and things that made you proud and things that you thought really had control of your life, and put on what is new. Put on the new self that you have. When I think of this, I actually think of an Apple iPhone. I don't know about who's Apple. Who's Team Apple? Any Team Androids in here? Boo. No, I'm just kidding. no, but what's I'm actually gonna crap on Apple real quick, and I'm an Apple user, so I get it. But it came out that Apple, their phones lose battery over time. Like, there's literally a section called battery health, and when you buy a new phone, it's at 100%, meaning you can get 100% of the battery that the phone allows. And then as your phone grows older, it starts to drop to like 92%, 88%, 70, 60, meaning the fullness that you can get of the charge loses its value from the start. Here, Paul is basically looking at you saying, you have lost your charge, and instead of trying to figure it out on yourself, get rid of that phone, and you are now a new phone. Like, you've lost this 60% charged self, and now you've put that away, and you are now the 100% charged, the original design that you were always meant to be. And the best part is, in Jesus, we, even when we lose our charge and we do fall into those ways of the old self of like trying to figure it out on our own, do things that please us and not Christ, we get to be forgiven and made new every single time. Like, we get to come back to him and we get to stay as the new original design that we're always meant to be because of Jesus. So that's what Paul's saying. Put off the old, take on the new. Pick it up in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak in truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So he starts explaining some things like, what should you do? We should speak truth. You should be a truthful person. You should not be a person that lies or is trying to connive or make deals, but rather be a very truthful person. Be very honest. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So he's saying, like, hey, in your anger, even in your moments where you're hurt or angry, let it be righteous. Like, let it be righteous, and then don't last on it, don't linger on it, but be a person of forgiveness. Our anger should be defined by our mercy and grace. We should be quick to forgive, even in moments of hurt, and even in moments of anger. All right. Verse 28, he said, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so you may have something to share with anyone in need. So, man, real quick, just a story about what's happening in Ephesus. Man, to steal was just a normal thing in the culture of that time. Like, they just did it. And it was just like, man, you wanted it, go get it. And that was just something that was very common. And so here, literally, Paul is saying, don't be like that. Don't steal. But rather work hard for what's yours. For you, I don't know, like, maybe we got some sticky fingers in here. And if we do, keep them up, because I don't want anybody leaving with somebody else's phone or anything or wallet. But maybe for you, it's like cheating. Like, ooh, you know, like cheating on a test or cheating on a homework or using ChatGPT to write your papers, whatever it is. All right, I'm gonna call you out, right? All right. No, it's like, man, he's saying, again, have integrity. Be a person of hard work. Be somebody that can be looked up to in the sense of being an integrity person, knowing that you're not living for somebody else, but you're living for God. And then he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but basically says, man, let your words be good. Let your words be that are going to build one another up, encourage one another, not tear them down, not gossip about them, right? And then he finishes by saying, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by who you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I love this little section of this part, because he literally says that when we sin, when we live for ourselves, we hurt God. Like, it hurts God at his core when you sin. In this word, in the Greek word, for grieving the Holy Spirit, it literally means to sadden or bring sorrow. Like, it brings sorrow to God when you don't live the life that you were supposed to. He would rather see you live the life that you were always called to. And so Paul says, man, put all these things away. And instead, do the things that are going to bring God joy. Don't do things that are actually going to sadden God, but do things that are going to bring him joy. A, because that's good, but B, because it's good for God, but it's also good for you. Like, God's never going to call you to do something that's not going to be a good thing to do. Like, I firmly believe that there's nothing that the Lord's going to say, you should do this, that is going to be a bad thing. I don't think that's very controversial, but I think it's such a great truth. So where does that leave us? What do we need to do because of this? We've read that. We've heard it. Now, what do we do? This is the statement that I want you to take on. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will live differently than the world. Now, notice the wording there. You will live differently. It isn't a, hey, you get the chance to. Hey, you can. Hey, you might do this. Hey, there's even a good shot, 70% chance you're going to do it. No. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will live differently than the world. Listen to me. The world is going to come to you and it's going to teach you that you need to be all about yourself. You need to be selfish and self-centered. It's going to tell you that you need to be thinking about your comfort and even your pleasure before anything else. It's going to tell you that you need to be greedy and take what's yours and everybody else can kind of figure their stuff up or stuff out. And it's even going to teach you to judge everybody else and not seek to judge yourself at all. It's going to say everybody else is the problem and you're perfect and just think about you. But that is not what we are called to as Christians. As Christians, we are actually called to be very selfless, to think of others more than we think of ourselves. We are to be full of service and serving our community, our family, our friends, our neighborhoods, our schools. When we are to value goodness and generosity, seeking what is best in a situation, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us, and being very generous, not just with our belongings, but with our time, with our efforts, and even with our words and our actions. And ultimately, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be inhabited by the love of God, to love others and even love ourselves the way that God loves others and loves us as well. So I'm going to say something and it's going to hurt, but I think it's a really great self-evaluation statement that we need to ask ourselves. So ask yourself this. I'm going to say it in a statement, but you can form it in a question. If you're not living differently than the culture around you, it's time to ask if you're actually following Jesus. And think to yourself, am I living differently than the culture that is around me? Because if the answer is yes, man, awesome, let's keep doing that. But if the answer is no, then we need to ask, are we following Jesus at all? And listen to me, if your answer is no to that question, it's okay because you can make that choice right now. This isn't a choice that you have to like, hey, you got to wait till you're ready. No. Man, if you said, Nene, I'm not following Jesus because I am living like the culture, man, take this time right now to make that decision. Make that decision now to follow him and live the life that he has for you. Listen to me, you are not going to be perfect at it. So maybe you're kind of in between saying, Nate, there's sometimes I do live like the world, but man, I love Jesus and I want to follow him. Man, I'm not telling you that you're going to do this perfectly. It is a day by day, decision by decision, moment by moment choice. I loved what one pastor said. His name is Matt Chandler. And he called it, he says this, that we, our life as Christians is one degree of glory at a time. That we are moving one degree of glory at a time. Meaning every moment, every choice we make is a decision where we are moving one degree of glory towards Jesus or away from him. And my goal for you is as we walk out today, we would say, man, I want to walk in a way where every choice I'm making is one degree closer to relationship with him, to the life that I was always meant to live. Now, quickly, as we finish, I thought about for you, I think we talk about this topic a lot, right? Like you probably hear me say something similar of the sense of don't live the life that you used to live, but live the life that Jesus has for you. I think we can all agree there. I thought about, man, if you as a young person came to me and said, Nate, what are the top three things that I need to live differently with as a Christian? These will be my top three, okay? The first is your words. As a Christian, we need to speak differently than the world speaks. Matthew 12 says this. This is literally Jesus saying, speaking. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Basically, he's saying this. The way you speak is a testament to who owns your heart. The way that you speak, the words that you use, is a testament to who owns your heart. Jesus or yourself. So what does that look like to change the way you speak? It means, man, maybe for you, it's what kind of language are you using? Like, are you speaking words that you know, like you would not say around me? You would not say around Pastor Dan? Maybe you wouldn't say around your parents or your teachers or the people that you respect? I think that's the easy one, right? Everybody's like, man, I know that language is, I should use correct language and not use curse words or words that are improper. But another one is gossip, man. Like, how are you talking about your friends or even strangers or even people in this room? Like, are we speaking highly of one another, or are we tearing each other apart behind each other's backs or even to each other's face? And the other one I thought about is like crude joking, like jokes that just go too far. Jokes that you go, man, I can say this because we know each other, but man, I would never say this in public. And sometimes we kind of laugh it off because it is a joke. We're like, well, we're not serious. We're not actually thinking those thoughts or want to do things like that. But man, it's all the same. And we need to watch how we speak. We should speak with kindness, with truth, and love. And truly, people should see the way we speak and be moved closer to loving Jesus than further away. We need to speak in a way that people see a glimpse of Jesus in us. So the way you speak your words, now here's the big one, your phone. I think I literally just heard an audible, Yep. There's a pastor named JP. I get called out because I use him all the time. Where's Micah? Yeah, Micah called me out for it. His name's Jonathan McLuden. He said this, however great something's potential for good is, equally is its potential for evil. So however good something can be, equally is how evil it can be. Man, whenever I think of this quote, I think primarily of phones and social media. Because the truth is, you are not ready to have a phone. Like, listen to me. Nobody in this room is ready to have a phone. Do you know how I know that's true? Because I'm not ready to have a phone. Because our adults in the room are not ready to have a phone. Like, the phone has given you access to otherworldly knowledge and has connected you in a way that has actually disconnected you from the people that are around you. I'm not telling you to go throw your phone in a river, okay? But what I am telling you is we need to up our responsibility on how we're using it. This means we need to spend less time on it. Man, I guarantee you, like, I know Apple does this. I don't know if Android does this. It has a screen time. Man, I think if I looked at a lot of screen times in here, you'd be pretty embarrassed. And can I tell you, the same is true of me. Like, if you looked at my screen time, I would be blush red. Man, we need to be spending less time on it. And the time that we spend on it, we need to be intentional with it. Listen, the doom scroll of social media, of just swiping and swiping and swiping, I promise, it doesn't end. You're not going to get to the end of it. And it doesn't matter. Like, most of the stuff we spend looking at on our phone is just nothingness. And I'm telling you, it's not worth it, and it's not a productive way of using our phones. Instead, man, use your phone to share the gospel. I know that sounds weird. It's like, man, how do I do that? Well, I'm telling you that, you know, the easy ones is, yes, post on your social media about Jesus, right? Like, don't be scared to do that. But also just use your phone in a way that's different from the world, to where somebody asks, hey, why don't you spend as much time on your phone? Hey, why don't you spend as much time on social media? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why are you different? Why do you look different with how you use your phone or even what phone you have? And you get to look at them and say, it's because I take my faith serious and it was a big distraction. And it wasn't helping me. It was actually hindering me. And what a beautiful way to live differently than the world. Do with that what you will. I think for some of you, that might be what you need to sit on, right? And then lastly, your priorities. This is not my statement. This is a statement that's used by so many other people. But it says this, our relationship with Jesus shouldn't be at the top of our priority list, but rather it should be the piece of paper that all of our priorities are written on. It means this, like, Jesus isn't just something that you do in the morning or in the midday and go like, check my box. I did my Jesus time. I did my prayer time. No. Jesus needs to define everything we do, not be defined by everything we do. Jesus must define what we do, not be defined by it. Man, there's so many other things we can get into, right? But listen, these three to me, when I think of, man, what would it look like for you to change your schools, to change this group? To change your friends group, like, what would it look like to show them that you are living differently? These three popped in my head. And maybe for you, you're like, man, Nate, I actually think of something different. Great. Run with it. But at the end of the day, we need to live differently than the world around us. To kind of finish where we started, like I said, my daughter called me to a life of being a father. Like, it was because she came in the world that I get the blessing of being a dad. If she did not come, I would not be a dad. And what I'm telling you is, God is calling you to a new life right now. He is calling you to a life of following Him. And yes, it is going to be difficult. And yes, it will take sacrifice and costs. But I'm telling you, it is so much better. And I can attest, all the adults in the room can attest, and many of you can even attest, that the life that is oriented towards Jesus and following Him and letting Him have control of everything that we are is so much better. It is a life of freedom, a life of peace, a life of joy. If you do not have that, then please come talk to me. I would love to walk you through what it looks like for that. Hey, we're going to sing, and then we're going to close, all right? Let me pray for us.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.